Beginning in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. For the week of August 13th, 2005, this is the RAIN Report, available on demand in Real Audio and Windows Media Audio streams from RAINReport.com. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. RAIN's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, is giving serious thought to discontinuing the telephone dial-up version of these programs. Due to some recent remodeling, the RAIN dial-up answering machine has been offline for almost a month with only 2 complaints. It would appear very few folks listen to RAIN this way. Either that, or those dialing it up don't have email access, which is hard to believe these days. If you know of someone who recently has used our telephone dial-up service to provide the RAIN report to Annette, please contact HAP via email to hap1p@rainreport.com. That's hap@rainreport.com. Scarcely a week goes by that we don't read or hear about another contact between the astronauts licensed as amateur radio operators through the ARIS program speaking to school kids from the International Space Station. Some of you new hams may not realize it all started with AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation, and its OSCAR series of ham radio satellites. AMSAT North America is in transition these days, according to its president, Richard Hambly, W2GPS, who made his first ham radio satellite contact on OSCAR AO6 in 1976.
AMSAT is a non-profit volunteer organization which designs, builds, and operates experimental satellites and promotes space education. We work in partnership with government, industry, educational institutions, and fellow amateur radio societies. We encourage technical and scientific innovation, and we promote the training and development of skilled satellite and ground system designers and operators. Our vision is to deploy high Earth orbit satellite systems that offer daily coverage by 2009 and continuous coverage by 2012. AMSAT will continue active participation in human spaceflight missions and support a stream of LEO satellites developed in cooperation with the educational community and other amateur satellite groups. What that means is that our primary focus in building satellites is going to be at least 2 high orbit satellites of our own and support of the high orbit satellite being built in Germany. Thusly, we will have, we hope, 3 high orbit satellites such that you will always be able to point an antenna someplace in the sky and see a high orbit satellite, hopefully at apogee, not at perigee. If you can do that 24 hours a day, the hobby changes completely, transforms everything. Human spaceflight missions. NASA has announced they're going back to the moon, they're going to Mars. Wherever it is they go, we want to go there with them. The LEO satellites, there are many, many organizations working on that. AMSAT will help them in any way we can. We want them to succeed. We want to encourage those organizations to build the right kind of satellites. We'll just see where that goes, but our priority in building will be the high orbit satellites. Now, for those of you who may not operate satellites on a regular basis, you may think, oh, well, we launched a satellite last year, so we must have 1 satellite working. Yes, we had a major loss of AO40, so what do we actually have up there? It's more than 1 satellite. We had a launch a few weeks ago of a satellite from India, which has added a tremendous capability. You can go to the website and you'll find that there are many working satellites with a variety of capabilities for data, for voice, whether it's linear, sideband, FM, S-band, VHF, UHF, whatever you like, we do have working satellites up there. I was privileged enough to operate 2 VHF up, S-band down contacts on AO51 yesterday myself with an HT and a WIP. I'll just review quickly. Last year at this time, we were about to launch this satellite, AO51, which we called Eagle. It's only 9 inches on a side. It's a very powerful satellite when you listen to it, but it's very small, but it does a lot. We do move the modes around, so you will find this banner showing what mode it's in now on the main AMSAT webpage, and we try to keep it up to date pretty closely with what's going on in the real scheduling. Is AO51 hard to work or easy to work? To do voice, all it takes is 2 AMSAT presidents and our official demonstrator. If we can do it, anyone can do it. I'd like to skip on to the high orbit satellites that I said were so important to our future. In order for us to meet our vision, we must team with everyone around the world And the first satellite that is going to be ready to go soon is Phase 3E, being built by AMSAT-DL in Germany. It's going to carry the same kind of transponder capabilities you're used to from AO-10 and AO-13 and some of AO-40's capabilities. And it's also going to carry some experimental payloads for their ultimate goal, which is a launch to Mars. It's going to launch very relatively soon, like next year. We have quite a few AMSAT North America people who've been working on this for a long time. And AMSAT is proud to tell you that we are now fully funding the North American content in this satellite and fully supporting both the people, the equipment, the software, the support, everything. That's taken a lot of the load off from Germany having to carry the ball on their own. And so we're looking forward to a success in the near future and a renewal of our partnership with AMSAT Germany. So while that's going on, we're going to also get AMSAT Eagle ready to fly. The challenges we're faced with, these solar cells are somewhat shy of $200,000 that we have to raise just to put the outside skin on. We have some serious challenges for budget. Our designers seem to think that they're on pretty solid ground with some of the things they're planning to do. This satellite has been under consideration since the year 2000 at the annual meeting in Maine when Dick Jansen proposed this, and we've been working on it ever since. We had serious work done in 2004. We came up with specifications for the satellite. We'll have a variety of payloads. There are no transponders. They're just transmitters and receivers. You'll have your linear modes for, you know, UV and US and all these various linear modes that you're used to and want to see again. Digital modes will also be there. We'll have some new exciting capabilities like C up, C down on 5 gigahertz. All of this stuff will be implemented in new and unique ways that have never been done before in the history of ham radio, and I think commercially may have only been experimented with once or twice that I've ever even heard of. Our antenna arrays are going to be interesting. We're looking at possibly having electronically steerable antennas, for example. That's pretty much what we have in mind. It's up to you to help us reach our potential. We're a volunteer organization. I'm not sure what I'm doing up here as president. I just accidentally volunteered for some small job once, but we're doing what we can. And the reality is, I think we're planning a future that's going to make you all proud of us.
The voice of Richard Hambly, W2GPS, president of AMSAT, the Radio Amateur Satellite Corporation of North America, excerpted from his 2005 Dayton Hamvention presentation. If you missed last week's rerun of some straight talk about club building by Jim Haney, W5JBP, ARRL president, it's still online on rainreport.com thanks to audio bandwidth being underwritten by CQ Communications. The Rain Report is copyright 1990 through 2005, Rain, all rights reserved. Now for Rain's founder-producer, Hap Holly, KCNRP, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from all of us at Rain, the Radio Amateur Information Network.